Welcome to the Have a Drink with Some Geeks podcast. Let's join our geeky hosts on this week's episode.
And welcome to another episode of Have a Drink with Some Geeks podcast, the podcast where we drink and say some shit.
Yes, we're back in the studio this time.
Yes. Welcome back, folks, to I think we're on episode 79 or 80.
Something like that. I can't remember anymore. I started writing them down, but then I forgot.
This is 79.
Ooh, 79.
All right, folks. Well, we are back.
79th annual Have a Drink with Some Geeks podcast awards.
Yes. So before we get started, Adam, we got to tell them where to find us. Find, follow, like, subscribe, comment, tweet, if that's what you call it anymore. I have no idea what to call it anymore. At Geek, yeah.
Because it's just an X now.
Yep. At Geek Drink Pod. Check us out on all those social media platforms, you know, TikTok, like I said, YouTube, as well as last week's episode.
Yeah, that's new for us.
Yeah.
And if you guys like that, like, we can do that going forward as well.
Yeah. So, let us know what you think. Leave a review. Leave a comment. Let us know what you guys think. And now it's time to dive into that sweet, sweet gold, the drink of the week.
Grab your beverage and join along as the geeks discuss the drink of the week.
All right, Adam, this week we are drinking Sam Adams.
Cold Snap. Sam Adams, yeah. A Boston white ale.
Yes, it's unfiltered and lively, Adam. It's
because there's nothing more Boston than white.
No, the only thing more Boston is this bottle beating you up.
Probably. Being beaten up by by white.
Oh. Well, cheers.
Cheers, brother. I never mind Sam Adams.
I'm not a big fan of this traditional Boston lager, but I'll drink it.
Yeah, I mean, it's
the cherry wheat I like, but it's one of those beers you can have one.
Yeah, and their summertime was pretty, like, yeah. I think they have, like, a summertime one that's, like, really... Yeah.
The cherry wheat's good, but it's one of those beers, if that's the only beer you can drink the rest of the night, because everything's going to be tainted and taste like that cherry wheat a little bit.
It's kind of like how, like, do you ever had, like, those people who are like, I only drink IPAs? And it's like, yeah, well, if you start your beer drinking experience...
With a heavy, harsh beer.
Like, yeah. With something that bitter, your palate's just destroyed. So it's like, you're not going to taste anything else. So, fun geek fact of the day, or recommendation, is to definitely try other beers if you're doing a tasting before you get into the IPAs, because it'll just blow out your palate.
But all right.
That's a bonus fact.
There you go. Bonus fact of the day. Brought to you by Adam Keefe.
Yes.
All right, folks. Well, now that we've had a beverage, it's time to talk about what we're talking about this week. It's topic of the week.
What are the geeks going to talk about this week?
All right. So, Oscars were 2 nights ago, as of the day this podcast comes out. It hasn't come, and tonight is the Oscars for us.
So. Correct. So, we don't know the winners yet.
Well, it's rigged, let's be honest. We all know the winners. No. The winner is... White guy B.
Pretty much. I don't know. Like, do you think Killers of the Flower Moon, the lady from that, might
beat out Emma Stone? I haven't watched it yet, but I want to.
I do too, but it's apparently very long.
But, yeah, it's a Scorsese.
Yeah, so. Apparently that's his thing now. I guess when you're Martin Scorsese, you can do whatever you want. But,
yeah,
we digress.
Yeah, I like his films. They're just, they are long. They're one of those you have to have that mindset. Like, I'm going to watch.
Yeah, you're like, I'm going into it.
Heavy.
Yeah.
No comedy, no chuckle. 3 hour movie.
3 hours of Leonardo DiCaprio. Mm-hmm. Which. Maybe some people are into.
Some chicks dig that shit.
Yeah, apparently if you're especially, very young.
Yes, if you're 19. All right, folks. Well, as we've kind of given away, we're talking about award show. But we're not talking about any specific award show because we've already kind of done that.
Yeah.
We're actually going to do our own award show.
Yeah.
So we're going to give away awards for certain categories.
Okay.
And it's not things from this year, it's just themes in general.
All right. So well, very how, broad range. How are we going to do this, Matt? I think I have some that...
I guarantee none are going to overlap. And we're not going to... This is just your award to them. This is not...
Ooh.
Yeah. This isn't me and you debating about it and who's right or wrong.
Okay, so should I do it where it's like, my nominees are...
Yeah. Go for it.
Okay.
And then you've got to talk about the one you like the most.
Okay.
All right, so Adam, we're going to start with you. We're going to talk about the best action adventure.
All right. So, for me, my nominees for best action slash adventure film are Raiders of the Lost Ark, Mad Max Fury Road, Legend of Drunken Master, and Enter the Dragon.
Let's see. It's going to be either Mad Max Fury Road or it's going to be Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Here's our thing, like our criteria, because we're going to have other things popping up. So we weren't doing like things that are sci-fi because we're going to have a category for that. No superhero stuff because we're going to have comedy for or like a category for that. I didn't know if we could throw in action comedies.
I mean, if it's got a weird action in it.
Yeah, it could. But if that was the case, Big Trouble in Little China. But all right. Do you want to do yours?
No, go ahead. Let's go ahead and talk about yours.
I'm going to go with, though the classic would always be Raiders of the Lost Ark, but just thinking of, like, action movies that have kind of stuck with me, I'm going to say Mad Max Fury Road.
All right.
It just was a visual masterpiece. It was great car chases.
It's probably going to be replaced by Furiosa coming up soon.
Hey, you know what? Please. Like,
I mean, that's nuts. Not a bad thing.
Yeah, it's, I'm like, that's preview, not terrible.
The preview, especially watching it this weekend.
Yeah,
last week.
Yeah, Chris Hemsworth looks...
Nothing like Chris Hemsworth.
He looks completely unhinged, and I love it.
And we saw the preview, so I'm sure we'll discuss it. We both saw Dune this week.
Yes.
We saw it at the Dolby Theater here in Highlands Ranch.
Oh, okay.
So it's
kind of I went to Alamo.
Yeah.
Because I don't go anywhere else.
Yeah.
Well, I'm an old curmudgeon who's like...
Well, we would have gone to Alamo had they had show times that didn't have only front row seating.
Oh, really?
Yeah. On a Tuesday night, which is... So, but no, the Dolby Theater at the AMC over here is... They do it with Dolby Sound and 4K.
Yeah.
So, the theater has over 200 speakers.
Mm-hmm.
And definitely, like, vibrates your ass. It'll keep you awake with the bass. Yeah. But seeing that Fury Road...
Tickle your butthole a bit.
Yeah, seeing like Mad Max on the big screen like that. Yeah, I was like, that's where it's going to be.
Okay, yeah. But yeah, that's going to be my pick. So, Matt, your nominees are...
All right, so for Best Action Adventure... Well, I got to write down what yours so we don't forget.
I have it written down for myself, but you should probably have a record.
All right, so my nominees for Best Action Adventure... I did include an action adventure comedy in there.
Oh, okay, great.
So I said the nominees were Rush Hour. It's an action.
Well, I'm glad we both put Jackie Chan movies in our nominees.
There you go.
I thought I was going to be like the only one putting like a martial arts film at all, but
so I've got Rush Hour, Con Air.
Put the bunny in the box.
The Rock, which I did back-to-back Nick Cage films.
Mm-hmm.
I also did Quantum of Solace.
Quantum of Solace.
I enjoyed it, and we'll talk about it in a minute.
Dude, you've been drinking the cactus juice. Like, I had, as like honorable mentions, Skyfall or Casino Royale were infinitely better than Quantum.
Skyfall was... Skyfall.
Quantum was... Nothing. Like, Skyfall was Oscar worthy.
I will. The only reason let's go through this. I mean, you'll find out who did not win. So, we're at Rush Hour, we're at Con Air, we're at The Rock, we're at Quantum of Solace, and my fifth one is... Sorry, I had a huge brain fart right there. So my fifth one isn't Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Does someone smell popcorn?
It's The Last Crusade.
Okay. I can get behind that. Like, I think...
Yeah.
The Indiana Jones, like, yeah. The first three were great. I haven't seen the new one yet.
Neither have I. I'm kind of just like, yeah, I'll
get I know to it's on Disney it. Plus, but I'm like, eh.
But, so my winner right. is...
The envelope, please.
So my winner is The Rock.
Okay.
You know, it's just a fun action movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's not as... I mean, it's very improbable from the whole... Yeah, the plot.
Is any Michael Bay movie realistic?
No.
But are they fun?
Oh, yeah. But Con Air was so close, but Con Air's absurdity of landing a plane on the Vegas Strip and no one dying...
Yeah.
That is... good person. Yeah, it's absurdity, but it's a fun movie too.
Yeah.
No, I just The Rock, you know, Sean Connery, he's obviously not in his prime anymore because he's not James Bond, but he is in his like resurgence prime where he's doing all these other films, mm-hmm. including this.
Your best. Nick Cage. Doesn't always complain about their best.
Nick Cage was definitely in his prime.
The prom queen. But I actually have a fun little like fan theory,
yeah,
that people have that the character that Sean Connery plays is actually James Bond still, but
just, yeah,
it got caught on a mission and all that. So,
okay.
Don't know, internet, you've done weird things to the world, but no, I'm good with that.
Yeah,
like, it's a fun film.
It is such a fun film, and there's so many actors who played the Marines.
Harris was.
But you have other actors who go on and have bigger movie roles later in their career, and it's kind of a good starting off point for them.
Yeah, it was great. I had a great time with that. Yeah, Michael Biehn playing one of the Navy SEALs that gets shot.
Yes.
They get shot. But, no, it was just that... Yeah, I'm good with that pick. Like, good job.
You know who else you had in there? The guy who plays Dr. Cox in Scrubs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He was one of the bad guys before he was Dr. Cox. I'm good with that.
All right. Adam, it is time to discuss your eight sci-fis, 80s and on.
So. Yes, so we're gonna be doing our nominees for best science fiction film from the 80s forward.
Yes.
And my nominees are Aliens. It's got to be on there.
Yeah.
It's the epitome of sci-fi action. I'm going to throw out Back to the Future.
Okay.
You know, you can't go wrong with Back to the Future. I also was a real big fan of a film called Gattaca.
Okay, yep.
Great movie. I have to put Dune Part 1 and 2 on there. I just have to. So the whole reason, my criteria for this is, realizing a full-on world. Like, kind of creating this whole thing. Those are kind of my ones. I know everyone wants to throw Empire Strikes Back on there, or Return of the Jedi. I kept trying to find something else I could do.
That's okay.
But, and then I tried to not do too much sci-fi horror.
Yeah,
because
we have a horror genre.
We're going to have a horror category coming up. And, Matthew, what do you think of any of these? What do you got? What do you think?
Is Dune 1 and 2 separate entries?
I would probably go with Dune Part 2 would probably...
Well, you can have both in there. It doesn't have to be separate entries.
Yeah, but I'm kind of like... I would... If I were to watch the movie again, I would watch it as one. So... But, we'll just say they're separate. Just to have an extra nominee.
So, for you, it's going to be between Dune Part 2 and Aliens.
Okay. The envelope, please. I am gonna go with Aliens.
All right.
Just again for realizing, like, creating a full world, having an amazing, like, powerhouse performance by
one of those few movies where the sequel
person is... that's going to come out in my next another category, but
it's one of those movies where the sequel was superior than the original.
I wouldn't say it's superior. It was different because, and probably more financially successful, but I thought, like, the first Alien movie was a good sci-fi horror film, whereas Aliens was more sci-fi action.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I'm going to go with Aliens, just the impact it's had on the film community, like, kind of going forward. Like,
okay.
And, like, who knows? Like, some of these other films, like Dune, we may see movies that are completely inspired by it. We don't know.
All right.
But that's it. So, Matt.
Okay.
And your nominees are...
Sci-fi 80s and on. I've got Titan A.E. A little animated there.
Yeah, that's fine.
Attack of the Clones. I'm kidding. No, that's not on the list.
I've already ranked it as the worst.
I already ranked it as the worst Star Wars film. all right.
Would you rank that the worst one over Rise of Skywalker?
Yes.
Over Solo?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm not...
I dislike Attack of the Clones.
Okay.
I watch it because it's in the story, but it's not one I'm like, this is going to be the best one in either the trilogy or the saga.
So, Matt just hates sand. It's so sandy.
It gets everywhere.
But you are not sandy. And that is why I love you. That was one of the reasons why I hate the movie.
Yeah.
Like, did you ever go on that website, Newgrounds?
Oh, yeah.
Like, it was like a flash...
Yeah.
Site. They had like a thing where they were making fun of it, and that was like a line from it. So, okay, so sorry, continue.
That's okay. So, yeah, we were at Titan A.E.
Titan A.E.
Number two is a sequel.
Okay.
Wrath of Khan.
Ooh, yeah. That's a good one.
Yeah, that's a good one. All right. Third sci-fi film. I did Contact.
Okay. I like Contact.
Fourth sci-fi film, Interstellar.
Very good.
And my fifth one, Battlefield Earth. I'm kidding, no.
It's actually a funny film to watch.
It is, when you know how horrible it is.
When you've had a few of these.
Yes, when you've had a few brewskis or beverage of choice,
yes.
Ladies and gentlemen. So my fifth one, I didn't want to throw a Star Wars in there because we've talked a lot about the trilogy or the saga. I didn't want to throw Star Trek in there because I talked a lot about that one. So,
I did
want to throw multiple because I could easily say there's a couple that you could throw in there.
Voyage Home.
That's a good one, too, or Search for Spock, or the J.J. Abrams first one.
I did like Star Trek Beyond.
I think that's the best of the three.
Yes. That would be an argument right there. It's better than Into Darkness.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah. Kick-ass soundtrack, though.
all three had a good soundtrack.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, I don't know a Star Trek movie doesn't have a good score.
Oh, yeah. Because you initially, like, James Horner did a lot of the stuff for...
James Horner, Goldsmith. Yeah.
R.I.P. James Horner.
All right, so my fifth film... We're going to get to it, folks, I promise. We're done with the Battlefield Earth references. So, this one was a little... Well, can't play with my headphones. Pulled my ear.
We have cats.
So the fifth one was a little tougher for me to narrow down. Like I said, there's a lot of choices. You could have gone to Star Wars. You could have gone more Star Trek. You could have gone in those directions.
Yes.
So for this fifth one, I did choose Dune 2 as well.
Nice.
Because I liked it way more than the first.
I mean, I liked the first one.
I liked the first one, but I liked it better.
We're going to have to do a whole episode on Dune just again.
I figure the next recordings we do, we're going to have some Avatar in there and some Dune.
Yeah. But anyway, so
the winner is Wrath of Khan.
Okay.
You know, from, like you said, world building, it really fleshed out more of what the Star Trek universe was going to be. They course corrected in a good way from what they had from...
The original motion picture, yeah. I didn't like the uniforms. That always bugged me. But
and you know, they introduced the Monster Maroons. Those uniforms.
Yes.
And it just kind of put that naval feel that I think you would have working in space on a starship.
Yeah.
You know, very much a calculated. This is, you know, especially that fight sequence in the nebula. It's very well theatrically presented, and I think from a realism point of view, it's pretty good to start seeing them say, hey, we're going to go on a different Z-axis, because yeah. Not everything is X and Y in space.
That always bugs me, like whenever the ships come to a planet, yeah. It's always, like, perfectly oriented.
Yeah.
But...
Alright, folks. Moving on to Best Actor, Actress, never been nominated.
I actually have... So, I guess I misunderstood.
That's okay.
I have Best Actor, Actress that have never won.
Yeah, that's what I meant, sorry.
Okay, so, so that was kind of my interpretation. I'm like, these are folks that have a huge body of work, and there's a few that I know, I think are gonna, like, who can pull off, like, a win.
Yeah.
In the future. But these are just ones that I find to be very surprising that they haven't won anything. So, my nominees are Edward Norton.
Okay.
He's had 3 Oscar nominations. 0 wins. Next up, Ralph Fiennes. 2 Oscar nominations. Only 2. No wins. This is the GOAT. Always a bridesmaid, never a bride. Glenn Close.
Oh, okay.
She's had 8 Oscar nominations. 8. Has never won. And then, had to put her on here, Sigourney Weaver has had 3 Oscar nominations. No wins.
Alright.
So, that's, like I said, I think some... people that I looked at online that, like, when I was looking up, like, oh, this person hasn't won, this person hasn't won, but it's like, some of them I'm like, it's a little too close to call.
Yeah.
But those are kind of my top 4. Any opinions?
No. On that? I mean, Glenn Close, it was a surprising one. I never thought about that one.
It's weird. Like, it's so bizarre, like, you look at her body of work,
oh, yeah.
And like, oh my god, like, she's, like, one of the best actresses, I think, out there.
She goes to prom, but never is prom queen.
Yeah. Always the
prize. Sigourney Weaver is not a surprise to me just because of her body of work.
Yeah, she was, I think she was nominated for Aliens. And then, like, yeah, Girl is in the Mist and all that. But yeah, Ralph Fiennes, like...
Okay, speaking of Ralph Fiennes... Didn't the bad guy in Dune, I can't think of his name.
Which one? Fade Rautha?
Yeah.
The, like, Austin Butler's character? Mm-hmm. Okay.
He looked like Johnny Depp and Voldemort had a baby.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what I said. I kept looking at.
Yeah.
I mean, he looks a lot like a young Johnny Depp anyway.
Yeah.
Okay, anyway.
Yeah, so.
Ralph Fiennes, yes.
And then, yeah, Ed Norton. I mean, I know he's kind of has a bit of a troubled kind of history now with Hollywood, but but yeah, like, you think, like, oh my god, like, he was nominated for, I think, Primal Fear was, I think, the first one, and then, like, American History X, god, he just knocked that out of the park, and you're just like, ugh. But, alright, and the winner is, it has to be Glenn Close.
Okay. I thought you guys said Sigourney Weaver, but that doesn't surprise me. It's good.
I'm like, to be honest, I respect the hell out of all these performers.
Yeah.
I really do, but Glenn Close is, like, she deserves an award, goddammit. And not just a lifetime achievement one.
Yeah, there you go.
But she's always close, but no cigar. So.
Ba-da-ba-ba-da-ba.
All right.
So, I said, so I have 4. I didn't get a 5th. That's okay.
No, that's okay. I only had 4, so.
Matt, right.
And the nominees are...
I've got Robert Downey Jr.
Okay. Well, that might be close to call tonight.
Yeah, but I had him on there because, you know, some of his non-Marvel work has been amazing. I really liked him in The Judge with Robert Duvall.
Robert Duvall. I liked him in a movie called Charlie Bartlett Anton Yelchin.
Who probably could have been on his list had he not been killed by his car.
Yes. You gotta leave the parking brake on, I guess.
Yeah, especially on them Jeeps. Not on your Jeep specifically, but just those Wrangler.
It was a Grand Cherokee or something. Like that. Yeah. But, poor kid. But
all right, so I've got Robert Downey Jr. I went with The Rock. Dwayne Johnson.
Dwayne the Pebble Johnson. Dwayne Johnson.
I went with Daniel Craig.
Okay.
And finally, Emily Blunt.
Okay.
All right. Who do you think we picked? I picked, not we.
I think you're going to go with, let's say, Robert Downey Jr.
No, I'm going with Emily Blunt.
Okay. She was nominated for Devil Wears Prada, right?
You know, I don't recall. I will look it up right now.
Yeah, let's check that. We're fact-checking people. I thought she was nominated for that, but can't remember.
Oh, I just saw her. She'd been nominated.
Yes.
But she did not win.
Correct. So.
Okay.
We're all, like, I was like, but yeah, she's...
Oh, she actually is nominated this weekend, too, tonight, so...
Ooh, for...
Oppenheimer,
okay. Well, we'll find out. Like, yeah. She might win, but... Yeah.
you know, just her work, you know, you look at her in... Devil Wears Prada is really what kind of put her on the map. She already had some movies at that point, but, you know, she's starting to increase her star power. You've got...
The Jungle Book. or the Jungle Cruise.
Yeah, The Jungle Cruise. Still have not seen that one. You've got her in... is it Day After Tomorrow? No.
Edge of Tomorrow.
Edge of Tomorrow, yeah.
Or... Live, Die, or Repeat, whatever they...
Yeah,
whenever
tomorrow.
They change the title
awesome
every...
film, because she's definitely plays a really good action hero.
Oh, yeah.
She
keeps
her
pace with Tom Cruise, like, 100%. And that probably isn't easy.
No, you've got her, like I said, Oppenheimer is fantastic. You've got her in... what did I just see her? Oh, in the Quiet Place film.
Yes.
The first one and the second one.
Mm-hmm.
Very strong performances there. Not an action-adventure... action role at all.
Yeah. But just... A family.
Yeah.
Like, it's a family film. But...
And, well, I think... There was a film... Was it her? I'm going to look it up real fast. We're doing that fact check here. Was she in The 5-Year Engagement?
I don't know.
That's what I've... Have you ever seen that one?
Nope.
Oh, so it's the...
I know you're kind of into... some periodic dramas, or is that a periodic drama?
No, it's not a periodic drama. Yeah, she is.
Okay.
Her and Jason Segel, and Chris Pratt's in it before he was buff Chris Pratt.
It's Jason Segel.
I
always just make
that. I recommend, it's not my record of the week, but I recommend it because Emily Blunt and Jason Segel are engaged for 5 years, and it's five acts, and each act's a different year of their engagement,
mm-hmm.
including... breaking up, and the fact that every time they're about to pull the knot, like, we're going to set the wedding date, something comes up, they have to move, she gets a job, he gets laid off, he gets frostbitten toes and gets his part of his foot chopped off, because he's drunk and sleeps in the woods.
Yeah,
so it's one of those kind of fun movies. I highly recommend it. Alright, Adam, moving right along here. We are moving on to Video Game Movie Adaptation.
Yes. I did throw a TV series on here.
That's fine. I guess we'd have to.
I'm like, there's not a lot I can throw on this list. I'll just cut to the chase. The nominees are...
Alright.
Detective Pikachu.
Oh, okay.
I had a lot of fun with that movie. The Sonic movie. I haven't seen the second one yet.
I haven't seen any of them.
No, the first one I liked. It was fun. Have to throw The Last of Us.
Okay.
That's my TV series one. And then I actually enjoyed the Uncharted
movie.
I mean, granted, this category we're working with nothing.
Yeah, I mean, it may not be a nominated film in every other circle, but you know.
Yeah.
All right, so Adam, the winner is, and I think I already know, you're going to say The Last of Us.
I was going to say Detective Pikachu, actually.
Okay.
Though I love The Last of Us.
Yes.
It's fantastic, but Detective Pikachu, I think, was great at, like, building the world of Pokemon.
Mm-hmm.
And bringing that to live action. Whereas I feel like a lot of these other ones, it's fairly, like, you can do this pretty, like, simply.
Okay.
And I think with video games, everyone does things kind of like video game adaptations. It's always like they take the simplest road out, but some are great. But I think Detective Pikachu does kind of stand out a little bit just because it had a lot of heart
to all that right. movie.
But Last of Us is definitely a close second. But yeah, all right.
Okay. So for my nominees, I also have Uncharted on there.
Yeah, it's a fun film.
I have the most recent Tomb Raider film.
I have not seen that one.
Oh.
Have you played the new games at
yes.
all?
Okay. I played the first, the new first on the new generation.
I've played the first two. There's like a third one that I haven't
okay.
gotten at. But
I'm going to say the Super Mario Brothers movie.
Okay. It was okay. They did Luigi dirty, but...
so does every game that Luigi's in.
I think that was kind of the meta joke, yeah. but...
And then I'm going to say Assassin's Creed.
The Michael Fassbender one?
Yes, and I'll explain why it's in the list. I'm not telling you if it's the winner or not. I'm just explaining why it's on the list.
He's drinking the cactus juice again, people. It'll so, clinch ya.
The winner is Uncharted.
Okay.
And so the reason why I put Assassin's Creed on there, overall, was it a good adaptation? No. Was it interesting how they added some extra aspects into it, like the cool animus that they had for it?
Yeah, like the fact that and
yeah,
crane and
the fact that they had when he is in his ancestors' memories, he's speaking the language. It's not just English, and you get rid of that suspension of disbelief. It's like, mm-hmm. oh, he's in space. He's in Spain. He's speaking Spanish, and we have subtitles. Okay, this makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
But. Some glaring issues that did not let it win. But the Uncharted movie for me was fantastic.
It was fun.
You know, Tom Holland, you're right. Jesus. Tom Holland, Max Wahlberger. We're kidding.
Mark Wahlberger.
Mark Wahlberg and Tom Holland play those characters so well, especially younger versions of them.
Yes.
It's going to be interesting to see if they make any other ones, if they make Mark Wahlberg have the mustache and start dyeing his hair, start graying him up a little bit.
That could be interesting.
But it was fun. Yeah. It was a good, fun film.
Yeah. That is the best thing I can say about it. It was enjoyable, good time. So, I gotcha on that one. That's cool.
All right, Adam, we are moving on to most overrated film.
All right. Most overrated. I got a few.
Okay.
So, and folks, keep in mind, this is all a personal opinion, but my nominees are James Cameron's Avatar.
Okay.
Didn't do it for me. Don't think it's the cinematic masterpiece that everyone makes it out to be. It's, yeah. Number two, James Cameron's Titanic.
Okay.
Doesn't really hold up anymore. Number three, the Academy Award winning Best Picture, Crash.
Okay.
I got number four, the musical Grease. Didn't really, like, I don't see the appeal.
Okay, fair enough.
This one is going to piss you off massively.
Probably not.
I got the Hunger Games series.
Okay.
Never really connected with me.
Yeah.
And then I threw on the original Blade Runner.
Okay.
I do think Blade Runner 2049 is amazing. just a visual feast, and it fixes a lot of what Blade Runner was. But everyone talks, like, you, like, I was searching through all these lists of, like, what people are saying are, like, the best sci-fi movies of all time, and everyone's, like, Blade Runner, and I'm like, eh. It wasn't that good. But, yeah, it's just sort of like, I guess, like, my big thing is kind of like, with the James Cameron stuff, it's like, the overall budget versus, okay, like, what came out in final product was kind of what, like, threw things off. Like, Avatar has this huge budget, and 7 movies in the making, and all that, and I'm like, Dune 1 and 2 had a fraction of it, and automatically were just superior films. Okay. Like, both visually and story-wise. Like, so, those are my things. So, I guess,
Adam's winner is going to be Avatar.
No, it's going to be Blade Runner.
Oh!
I have to, like, I just have never, like, I've watched the movie so many times. I've watched all the different cuts, mm-hmm, of it. And it just, like, the only thing I can say about it is, like, the miniature work is great. The visuals are great. Rutger Hauer is fantastic. But everything else about the film, I'm like, I don't see the appeal.
Okay.
I don't get it. So I'm going to say Blade Runner is the winner for most overrated. So, all right.
All right.
Matt, most overrated. And the nominees.
Nominees are Blade Runner 2049.
You are a bastard.
All right. Oh, it's just on the list, and we all know my opinion on Blade Runner 2049. I've voiced it several times.
As I drink my beer,
yeah,
to stop screaming.
All right, and not necessarily do I hate these movies when I list them, but they can be highly overrated.
I think that's ultimately the big thing.
So,
like, what overrated means is, kind of,
it's
not a pedestal necessarily, like, yeah, it's like everyone is overinflating.
Yes.
Like, they're blowing smoke up its ass.
Yes. So for me, the second one.
All right.
Step Brothers.
I laughed a lot during Step Brothers.
I did too, but I think the people
I quote Step Brothers.
That's my pet peeve right there. People who quote Step Brothers. You're not bad, but people who insensibly do it, and it's been almost 20 years since the film came out.
Bullshit!
I do like the movie. I just do think it is overrated.
Okay, that's fair enough.
I am going to say Dune Part 1 is on my overrated list. It's a good film. I enjoy it. But I think, like, all the films on this list for me, they're just way overhyped for what they are. This one's going to catch some flack. Barbie.
Yeah, you just lost us, all our subscribers.
I didn't say it's a winner, I'll just say I think it's a highly overrated film.
I thought, like, I mean, I'll just say, like, the movie made me laugh, made me cry.
Made him play his bald spot in his crotch.
What?
I don't know.
It just was... It was enjoyable. Like, okay. Do I think it's, like, the best movie of all time? No. But I enjoyed it. It was fine. But, all right, what's your winner?
Blade Runner 2049.
Yeah, I figured.
Nothing needs to be said more about that. Yeah, but I will say Dune Part 1 did come in a close second.
I could pull you and be like, you're wrong, Matt!
You can say it wrong. I didn't say it was a bad wrong. Movie. I just think it's overhyped for what it is.
Visual masterpiece?
Not visually masterpiece. Either one.
Name 5 films that look better than Dune and Blade Runner 2049.
Visually better?
Yes.
Oh. I would say Avatar visually is better looking. I think they could have done a little more... The sand shots, and it's just the same drab color to me, and not as much contrast as I would have liked in using those kind of scene. It's a good film. I enjoy it. I enjoy the lore and the world it built and the acting and the music. It's not a masterpiece in my book. And that's fine.
All right.
No? All right, Adam. Best album in the past 30 years.
Best album. So, this is going to be hard because, folks, I'm old. I have a... We all have our music proclivities. And so I seriously, like, when Matt sent me this as one of our criteria, I turned to my vinyl record collection and I was flipping through stuff and I'm like, oh yeah, I love this album. And then I turned it around and I'm like, ah shit, it came out in 1990. It's too old. It's like...
Well, no, well, yeah, barely. Yeah.
But it's like, pretty much, it's like, I was like, okay, we're going from 94 and up for me to say best of 30 years. And also, my thing is, what makes an album? Like, and I guess that's question to ask for context is, so Matt, what in your mind makes an album?
It's got to be mostly unreleased previous tracks. It can't be like, well, we released this as a bonus demo on the last album.
Okay.
And six of them are from that. It has to be more than six songs. Six or more songs.
Okay.
Can't be just an SP or an LP. It's got to be the full EP.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it has to be that person's original works. It can't be an entire album of covers.
Okay.
Like Weezer's Teal album.
Yes.
Great album. But it's not... I don't think it's a best of album because it's not Weezer's original work. It's everyone else's original work that Weezer's covering.
Understood. For me, it has to be, like, cohesive work.
Okay.
For me. It's like, it can't just be... And I'm gonna be disagreeing with Jay-Z on this one. It can't just be... one or two songs that are like standouts and then a bunch of stuff that's like meh. It has to like be something I could put on
and almost listen, any song on that track
or just
in record play
and just listen to the entire thing.
Okay.
Is kind of that's my criteria, and I feel like more recent music artists, the format of the album in my mind is gone because it's like, oh yeah, okay, you can say like Billie Eilish has two great songs on this album, but I'm like, okay, the rest could be shit, and then she'll like win album of the year, and it's like, and I'm not,
it's an example.
It's just an example, but like that's to me, I think it's the singles are the thing, and like that's what I would say to Jay-Z and being like, hey, maybe Beyonce is the problem that she hasn't won album of the year, is that she's got
some bangers but not a whole album bangers.
Yeah, it's like you got three tracks on there and it'll make her millions of dollars and artist of the year and all this stuff, but the rest of this album I won't listen to. Not that I listen to Beyonce, I'm not a big fan of that stupid Texas song. Seriously, like that. It came on in my girlfriend was driving somewhere and it came on and I'm like, is this Beyonce?
Yeah,
it's weird.
It is. I mean, it is what it is. If you love it, you love it. And then more power to you.
So, after my long-winded rant, again, I'm old. We kind of grew up in the 90s, 2000s. Yeah. That's the thing. So, if things show up on here and it's not your genre.
We're not saying, like, it's the Beatles. We're not going to say, because...
We're not saying, like, we're not the White Album is...
Yeah, we're not saying, you know, the entire history of music here is the top album.
Correct. It's, so, first one, and this is one I can listen to the entire album. I have it on vinyl, and I think, in my opinion, has probably one of the best songs ever written. It's Soundgarden's Super Unknown.
Okay.
So that's one for me. The Offspring's Smash album. So I think that one had a lot more
of their kind of darker things before they started talking about being pretty fly for a white guy. Which is a fun album, but... And also a decent album, but I think Smash is kind of their top work. I have to give a shout out to JV for this one. Blink-182's Enema of the State.
Okay.
It was hard because I was like, is it Take Off Your Pants and Jacket or like, what do I pick? Because they have such a great body of work. But I think that one for me was kind of like, I remember, because like my brothers and I, like we always had to like share our CDs. And so that was one. I guess starting to get into modern stuff. Maroon 5's Songs About Jane.
Their best album.
Yes. Yeah. But again, like it felt like a cohesive piece of work. You could just press play and you can listen to everything on it. Everything worked. First, and I think still their
best body of work.
Yeah, I mean,
they got some bangers here and there, but yeah.
Yeah, but again, I think it was like the whole thing of moving to singles was kind of their problem. Stone Sour's Come Whatever May, their second album that they released. Okay. Corey Taylor's kind of side project man. Corey Taylor, well, I guess now he's from Slipknot. He has his solo career going on right now, but Stone Sour was always a big thing for me, and it was kind of a toss-up between their self-titled first album and Come Whatever May, but I think Come Whatever May was a better cohesive piece of work. Again, like, just could play and
okay,
all that. Jimmy Eat World's Futures, which I can't, like, they had a bunch of albums, but this was like after the Bleed America one. I just remember having that CD in my car in high school and
there
could
you
just
go.
Play it. And then just have to throw out Coheed and Cambria's The Afterman. I would probably have to say The Afterman, like, part two, but you can get, like, where it's, because there's like
A and B
things. But so that's what I got. So
the winner is,
it's got to be Soundgarden's Super Unknown.
All right,
it's like, seriously, like Black Hole Sun, I think, is one of the best songs ever written, and I miss Chris Cornell's voice. I miss him as a person. Like, he was just like, I've heard a stripped down version of him just like recording his audios, and God, the guy could sing so well, and it's very tragic to not have him around anymore. So all right, Matt.
All right,
nominees.
So my best album in the past 30 years, and so my criteria, just so everyone knows, for this is, it may not be critically acclaimed, but it's something that
I don't think any of mine were. Well, some of them.
Some were. It's something that hit me at a certain time. It's just like that stuck with me for a long time.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, first album is going to be Snow Patrol's Eyes Open.
Was that the one
with Chasing Cars on it?
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Okay. One of those albums I can listen to, pick a song anywhere at random on there, and I can listen to it.
Awesome.
Fun album. Album number two takes us back to high school. I'm going to go Lifehouse's Stanley Kleinfall, their second album.
Ooh. I almost had, but I couldn't, like, I couldn't decide. I do like Stanley Kleinfall a lot.
No Name Phase, I mean, obviously, is their debut album. It was great. And I think Stanley Kleinfall took what they did in the first album and kicked it up another notch.
Yeah. They keep coming out, like, because they had that, Stanley Kleinfall.
They had Lifehouse.
Yeah. They're a solid.
Yeah.
Solid band. Great voice, also. Oh, yeah. I forget the lead singers.
Jason Wade.
He has a great voice.
Oh, yeah.
Good on him. Good job, buddy.
Album number three, I'm going to go with John Mayer's Continuum.
Okay.
So it was, I think it's third or fourth album.
Mm-hmm.
It's when he started learning that his voice can't handle the way he was singing.
Mm-hmm.
And he started dialing himself back and kind of going a little more softer and a little more soulful, I would say.
Okay.
Instead of having a giant ballad like he did in the, you know, the Your Body's a Wonderland kind of songs. But, I, you know, his guitar work to me is just phenomenal.
Yeah.
Next one up is going to be Santana's Supernatural.
Ooh, that's a good one. I didn't even think of that.
Not even a song on there I just don't like listening to.
Yeah. I just kind of... Like, Santana's guitar work is so great, but, like, I have to say, like, Rob Thomas adding, like, his voice to something, or Everlast, like, adding the voice to...
Yeah.
It just...
Eli Cherry was on there. Yeah. Dave Matthews was on there at the time. It's... Wyclef Jean, I forgot, had a song on there with him.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, I gotta probably... put that on.
Yeah,
it's driving back home.
It's one of those albums you can pick any song on there, and it's gonna be a banger.
Yes.
And my final album is gonna be Jason Mraz's "Look for the Good in Everyone."
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of his reggae album.
Mm-hmm.
Listened to a lot. It came out right as COVID hit. Obviously, it wasn't why he wrote it, but it definitely was that, like, and all his music just kind of makes you feel good and vibe. Yeah, it's so. Like,
positive
stuff. You know, you're in lockdown and you're you know, driving the highway alone because you're one of the few people who has to show up to their job, and the highway is quiet, and it's like, this is really weird, but it's a good album just to make you kind of forget about it for a little bit.
Yes.
So, alright. The winner is...
Lifehouse.
You're right. Stanley Kleinfeld. That was my high school jam. That was my high school album.
No, it...
And even to this day, if it comes on, you just don't skip anything from the album.
Oh, it's like, I remember they did have, like, on their, like, deluxe edition, like, an acoustic. A
couple acoustic,
like,
couples.
Oh, yeah, my gosh. Yeah, they
had acoustic, Wash, Spin.
Mm-hmm.
I know we're talking about laundry all of a sudden. Wash, Stanley Kleinfeld.
Yeah. Fabric softener, OxyClean.
Hot, tumble, dry, low.
But, no, I'm good with that.
All right. Adam, we're moving on to best horror films.
Okay. All right. My nominees are The Orphanage.
Okay.
Guillermo del Toro produced it.
Yes.
The guy who directed Jurassic World 2 directed it, but it was his directorial debut. My big thing when it comes to horror films, just kind of as a... I should have put this out there first... Is the horror, like, effective, or is it just a jump scare?
Yes.
And I tried to pick ones that stuck with me, and The Orphanage definitely stuck with me. Next one, I'm going to go to The Land Down Under, The Babadook. That one, I remember, it was like, what, there was a second date with a girl, and, like, we went back to her place, and...
Adam jumped in her lap and screamed.
I like, because I'm very jumpy, like, during things, and she's like, oh, let's watch this horror film, and I'm like, okay. So we go back to her place, and I was like, it was one that it got under your skin, and I'm like, yeah, we did not have sex that night.
Nothing got under her skin.
Yeah, but I'm going to talk about The Witch, that came out a few years back with Anya Taylor-Joy.
Mm-hmm.
Another one that it took me a while to get to see it because it kind of looked a little bizarre. Like, everyone's speaking in the, like, old-time, like, Puritan English dialect. And I was like, I don't know about this. But that one, like... is another one that, like, not a jump scare, but definitely creepy. We all know I gotta throw John Carpenter's The Thing on there. It's a masterpiece of practical effects. We've talked about it before. So, can't go wrong with that. And then my last one is one that made you afraid to ever go in the water again. Jaws.
I'm going to say The Life of Pi.
The Life of Pi. Swim fan. I don't know. But Jaws. The, like, Deep. What can we say about Jaws that hasn't been said a million times over? Like,
really, like, the music.
Yeah.
The not seeing the shark for a long time.
Most of the film,
You see just the aftermath, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, the isolation on the boat, everything's going wrong. It's really good. So, those are my ones. Before I do that, like, Matt, what scares you in a horror film? Or, like, what do you look for?
It's got to be something that is... We kind of talked about when we talked about Signs and those kind of films. It's got to be, like, the big bad, the scary thing is not ever fully seen until the end.
Okay.
And it doesn't need to be this, you know, horrifyingly terrifying creature of the week kind of character.
Correct.
It just needs to be that subtle, scary, and also realistic scary to me. Yeah.
Well, I was going to mention a name, but you would make me put a dollar in the jar if I mentioned the name again, but it's kind of that kind of horror.
Okay.
Where it's like...
Yeah.
Mm. But, all right. Well, any thoughts on my winner?
I think you're off the thing.
I'm actually going to go with The Orphanage.
Okay.
That movie broke me. Like, it's in Spanish. And oh my gosh, like it's
never a ghost. Mexican talks to him in a romantic sense. And, yeah.
I think it was, I don't know if it was more Spain, like Spanish. Yeah. So, they're like, we're going to Espanol. But, it's a ghost story in the best sense. Like if you look at something like Edgar Allan Poe, I got a lot of Poe vibes from it, and it's not like jump scary, it just gets into your head, and like the ending is so messed up, and like, but it's not like this ghost is doing the bad things, they're actually like trying to help, but it's so good. I don't want to spoil the ending, but please watch The Orphanage. I think it's one of the best horror movies of all time.
Okay.
All right, Matt, your nominees.
Nominees. I've got the original Blair Witch Project.
Huh? That was one that changed the game.
Changed the game.
Yeah.
I was going to say Signs, but that's not the one. Sorry, we did talk about it earlier. Alien.
Okay, the original Alien. The
original Alien.
Yes.
All right. Next film on the list. The first one, Paranormal Activity.
I didn't get into it as much, but...
It's that captured camera footage kind of realism where it's like, okay, you know, this isn't... Obviously it's staged, but it's like, okay, this is like someone's bandy cam catching weird shit.
Yeah. You're the fly on the wall and it's not... Yeah. I get you.
Saw.
Oh.
The first one, the original. Just because of how messed up it truly is. Like, it's horrifying in the sense of, like, sick people probably would do this shit. And what are you willing to do for your own life? Like, you're willing to kill someone, or you're going to sacrifice limb to get out? You know, it's that kind of moral dilemma. All right, Adam, what do you think the winner is going to be?
I think probably go with Blair Witch.
I'm actually going to go Alien.
Okay.
That's from how traumatizing it was as a six-year-old.
Yeah.
Blair Witch is a good teenage-defining horror. But no, Alien itself, just, it's a great film. It just, at the time I saw it in my life, I was like, well, this is, I will never watch another movie with that word in the title ever again.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, phenomenal work. It's obviously, the Xenomorphs are still pretty terrifying in anything they have them in. Obviously, more jump scary now than they used to be, but yeah.
Yeah, I'm curious. They have that new film coming out called Alien Romulus.
Yeah.
That I think they're finally, like, taking the keys away from Ridley Scott. Stop making shitty films.
All right, Adam, we are on to our last category here.
Yes.
Best Marvel film.
Yes. My nominees are Thor Ragnarok.
Okay.
I think it saved the character. Dropped the ball with Thor Love and Thunder, but...
Didn't drop the ball as hard as it did in Dark World.
Yes, but I think Thor Ragnarok breathed new life into the cosmic universe.
Okay.
The original Iron Man.
Yes.
Okay. That one, I mean, everyone's like, yeah, it kind of started it all. Captain America, Winter Soldier. I don't know if I've probably said it on here. It felt like a Jack Ryan movie in the Marvel universe, and it was fantastic. And then the last one for my nominees, I was like, Guardians of the Galaxy, Avengers movies, like, what do I pick? Do I throw in, like, the Spider-Man ones? I will have to go with the first Guardians of the Galaxy.
Okay.
Just because I think it was the first one to start that cosmic side, and was a great just ensemble cast. Like, everyone, I walked away from that movie feeling like, oh, everyone stood out. Everyone did a great job, and I know we've talked about Guardians, like, 3 and all that and before, but it's like, it just was...
Yeah, oh yeah.
Interesting, so...
And the winner is, I'm guessing, it's Guardians of the Galaxy.
It's not...
Ooh.
It's, I had a tough time kind of breaking this down, because I'm like, which one do I pick that's my winner?
Okay.
And it was either go for something that was whimsical, funny, but had a lot of heart as well, or do I go for something that had, like, seriousness, message, that sort of thing. And ultimately, I went with Captain America and the Winter Soldier.
Right.
So, or the Winter Soldier. Not the Falcon and the Winter Soldier. I still need to get through that, but I just liked it because, like I said, it felt like a spy thriller, a political game, and it had so many layers to it that I just really got into. And, like, really, you could have not had, like, a Captain America in it, and it almost would have hit the same kind of beats.
So, all right.
Ultimately, that one wins out for me. So, Matt.
So I have Incredible Hulk.
The Edward Norton one. Okay. All
right. Yeah, I also have on here Ant-Man, the first one.
Okay.
I have Avengers, just the first one.
The first one.
Yeah. Okay. Endgame's amazing, but I think for the purpose of this list, it's going to be too highly rated, and it's just kind of...
Yeah.
It's going to be everyone's favorite.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go with Spider-Man No Way Home.
Okay.
And my last one on this list is going to be Thor Dark World. I'm kidding. No. Not going that route. My other one on this list is going to be Black Panther.
Okay.
All right, Adam, who do you think the winner's going to be?
I don't know. Like, Ant-Man was a great, like, heist movie, but I don't know if that's your jam. Probably going to say the Avengers.
I'm actually going to go not with Ant-Man or the Avengers. I'm going to go with Spider-Man No Way Home.
Okay.
Just
I'm like all of them were solid. Like,
yeah, it's just and I'm sure everyone's seen it. And if you haven't seen it, please pay your electricity bill and watch it. Phenomenal film. It's a great tie-in to the multiverse and a good jumping off point for that whole multiverse saga. That if you didn't watch the TV shows like Loki and such, really kind of gives you a good dive into it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but who knows? Maybe the new Deadpool movie will take that place soon.
I don't know. Like, the trailer looks funny, and
it looks really good. And the fact that it's now Deadpool and the Wolverine,
Deadpool and Wolverine.
Yeah.
He was like Wolverine and some dickhead.
Yeah, looks like it's gonna be a lot of fun. It looks like it's gonna be a fun multiverse story.
Yeah,
I love the
TVA coming back.
TVA, I know Owen Wilson's back. Not Owen Wilson. Luke Wilson. Yeah, Owen Wilson.
And Mr. Darcy.
Mr. Darcy, yes.
Yeah, from Pride and Prejudice. He's the TVA agent.
Yes. You've got callbacks to Pyro from the X-Men, the first X-Men franchise and film.
Callbacks to the Loki series.
You've got
Obviously, some of the fight scenes, like, oh, that takes place during Age of Ultron. That's in that Winter Forest.
And, yeah. Well, we'll see. I mean, yeah. I think they're just going to... They're going to take, like, a bucket of spaghetti with the sauce, with the meatballs, and they're just going to throw everything at the wall with it. Because that's just Deadpool. So...
All right, folks. Well, this wraps up our episode of the Geek Drink Pod Award Show.
Yes.
Tune in next year when we do some different awards for some different genres and categories.
Yeah. We'll see what's out, who's won, who's...
We'll make Adam take his favorite Little Nas album.
Well, I like some of his work. I mean, I thought that one where he, like, pole dances down to the devil was... It's like... Kind of a nice song. I like the music video.
Yeah.
I thought it was like, oh, cool. Anyway, but...
That is not the reaction I thought Adam was going to give me on any of that conversation. But all right. Folks, thanks for listening. We want you guys to make sure you find, follow, like, subscribe, comment, tweet, toot, smoke signal, I don't know, send by Raven.
Matt loves the smoke
signal. We are at Geek Dream Pod on all the social media platforms. Let us know what you think. Give us a review. Leave us 5 stars. Leave us 4 stars. Just leave us a star. I don't care. Leave us something.
Yeah.
And we hope to hear...
Give us your money.
Give us something. Give us recommendations. We'll take it.
Yeah, we will listen.
All right, folks. Thanks for listening. You guys have a great geek week.
Take it easy.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Have a Drink with Some Geeks podcast. Tune in next week to see what our geeky host will discuss next week. Goodbye. Geek Drink Pod 2024.